place.
Did I start this meeting? Does it?
I think you should use your camera.
Okay, it's 7 o'clock and we have a quorum. Okay, first line of business is public. I have had no calls or emails. Bill, anything?
I haven't received any.
Okay, so anybody in the audience? Hearing nobody, we're gonna go ahead and move on to our first thing. And as soon as I get my PDF file to move here, we can go to just do a part of it. Go back to paper. Okay, financial highlights. Bill, that's you.
Thank you. I'll start off with the financial highlights memo, page 2. The year-to-date revenues are at 94.89% of budget as compared to last year at 92.08. Specifically tax collections, it's budgeted at 99% collection rate, and this year's current tax collections are doing very well at 98.91% of budgeted. Interest income continues to trend towards collecting approximately $54,000 or 69% of the budget for the year.
Can you hold one there?
Yeah.
For the board, what the last year's at this time, and we were at 40K. So it gives you a comparison. We're at 54K, so we're already 14,000 ahead of the game. Okay, go ahead.
The building license and permits continues its positive trend, collecting an additional 19,417, bringing the year to date to 232,000 or 110.67% of budgeted. Some additional items I added this month: the telecommunications property tax expected to be received in next month. The equalized cost share, remaining balance expected to be received in April as well. The BOE tuition for Hartford expected to be received in this last quarter, don't have a date yet. And the pilot housing authority is not yet received, but likely to be received in April as well. In regards to the general fund revenues, anyone have any questions?
Sarah?
Yeah, I feel stupid, but what's the pilot housing project?
It's a particular building. Bob, you know offhand the address? It's Dowd.
21 Dowd.
21 Dowd.
Payment of lieu of taxes from the state for our public housing.
Yes.
It's just pilot is short for.
I didn't realize it was. Taxes. Yeah, fine. I thought it was like a
pilot program. Right.
I did. Thank you. Okay, good.
Well, thank you for asking because it just refreshed my memory too.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Go ahead, Bill.
Year-to-date expenses are at 71.1% of budget compared to last year, 73.4% at the same time. Some of these items you'll see are the same, but I want to make sure we continue to stay on the same page. CAOs, equipment purchase, will continue to exceed budget as a result of the ongoing Zoom license fees and the advertising as well, and that's due to the placement ads. The elections, registrars, deputy salaries, encumbrance will be adjusted. It's currently showing an encumbrance there. That's going to be adjusted. We have to remove a resigned employee's pay, just want to let you know. Assessment part-time is going to exceed budget as well, and that's due to paying the previous assessor until a replacement or a solution is put in place. Building official, supervisory salaries with encumbrance over budget by approximately $7,000. Due to an accrued time payout for a retired employee. Town hall part-time, it's over budget, about $6,518 due to temporary part-time custodian cleaning as well as some recent work. Town hall overtime is a result of some weekend work, storms, supporting an installation of the AT&T tower. I wanted to point it out because AT&T will refund the town approximately $3,600. Of this overage. The property casualty, it's been on previously, but we have an additional $5,000 deductible due to a recent claim. The other item is the cyber policy. The fire vehicle maintenance, exceeding budget by approximately $11,000 due to the various repairs, specifically Tanker 7 and Rescue 9. Police department admin, private duty overage, that will be offset with collection of fees. The police department admin for computer software support is over budget due to the cruiser connection fees through AT&T Mobility, approximately $532 monthly. So that's what that overage is about. Police department, police patrol department equipment, exceeding budget by $27,620, but this will be offset with grant once it's received, about $30,000. General highway, full-time, hourly, is over budget to accrue time payout for a retired employee. Senior social services dial ride overage of $8,732, that's gonna be adjusted with grant funding. The community center maintenance cleaning supplies over due to range and dishwasher repairs. By next month, the reason I'm pointing it out is it's gonna be over by $7,450. Community center heating, cooling, and repairs, same situation next month. It's gonna be over by about $2,178 due to a blower motor replacement.
Can I ask a question?
Project's been, go ahead.
Yeah, I was gonna wait for him to finish because I got about three questions then.
I can wait, yep.
Yeah, go ahead.
The project's being moved to SIP to address the purchase of the new HVAC units. And information technologies, cable internet's over to do a full year cost for QSEND. And the installation of the new Comcast internet service, that's about $120 a month. And that was basically the ongoing outages that we had.
Okay, all right. The note in here, I'm gonna ask this for three questions. Number five is town hall overage due to the part-time custodian cleaning. Then I have number 14 was overdue to range and dishwasher repair. And there's another one in there, I can't remember. And the question I have is, can that ARCO fund be used for those? Because of additional cleaning on that, do we have to pay that $7,000 or can we use that?
Well, we'd have to get approved to the ARCO plan, right?
Yeah, you'd have to go to a town meeting and get approval for that funding.
Okay.
So, yeah, the answer is yes. You can use the remaining ARCO funding for any cost that's a legitimate government cost, which obviously having custodians would be. So you could use the ARPA funding, but it's not currently part of the ARPA funding, approved ARPA funding plan.
Right.
So you'd have to go back to a town meeting and get approval for that expenditure.
How much money do we have left over in ARCO that's not committed right now?
About $480,000, $490,000, somewhere in that.
Okay. I'm sitting here thinking about this, maybe an idea. Do we offset these? I know it's a small amount, but I think we start adding them together. I'm just doing it real fast in my head without a calculator here.
Well,
already I'm up to 50,000.
The washing machine is kind of a totally different issue. That's not from washing due to COVID. That's because the machine's been broken out for a couple of years and we finally got around to repairing it. Probably have a better way of explaining it. I mean, you can use that ARPA money for anything. You could pay for heat for this building, you could pay for the gas that goes on the police cruiser, you could pay for anything.
Okay, all right. All right, I got a week to think about it.
But next week you're discussing next year's budget. This is
right.
This current budget
right.
Reduction, so they're two totally different things. Well, two different things.
Correct. Thank you for saying that. Go ahead, Sarah.
I was gonna ask about ARPA also because if we were going to look at some ARPA funds for these, would we have to do it this fiscal year, or could we wait until next summer and reimburse it? Or how does that work for the books?
I don't know. Could that be?
It's not planned necessarily.
Yeah, I guess one thing I would say is that it looks like overall we're going to be very close at the end of the year as far as expenditures go. And so, and we do this traditionally every year. I would wait till the end of the year, find out what the deficit is, and then at that point, if instead of going, well, you gotta go to a town meeting anyway, so if you wanna go to a town meeting to cover a deficit, at that time you can decide, we're gonna take it out of fund balance, or we're gonna take it out of ARPA. But I would wait until that time to figure out whether there is actually a deficit, and how much that deficit is, and then make a decision. Do you want to go to a town meeting to pay for it out of fund balance, or do you want to go to a town meeting to pay for it out of ARPA? But I, wait till the fiscal year is over to find out whether there's actually a deficit.
Okay.
I would not be surprised if there is, but I'd wait till that point instead of trying to pick and choose which line items you're going to fund now.
Okay. We also have left a buffer in the ARPA, so that.
Right, yeah.
There is.
And we may know better how much of a buffer we need to leave in the ARPA by the end of this year, too.
I'm glad you clarified that. Thank you.
Can I ask one more question?
Go ahead.
So, and especially knowing that they've been broken for a while, these, the repairs just seem kind of high to me. Yeah, if I had to pay enough money to get my range and my, my dishwasher fixed, that's a lot of money. How come?
It's a commercial dishwasher. It's not like your homeowner special.
Yeah.
And that's the cost of doing it. In fact, the repair person, the first person we got to try to repair it was even higher than that.
Mm-hmm.
We actually used the vendor that the school uses to repair their equipment. And we were able to get it done for less. But when you're talking about commercial equipment, that's the cost of getting it repaired.
And given that it's been broken for a couple of years, why do it now and not put it in the budget cycle?
Well, I think it was because we had to repair the stove. The stove we had to repair, it came unsafe. And so when we were going to repair that, we just said dishwasher at the same time. I mean, these are kind of standard repairs. It's embarrassing it went that long without being repaired. We shouldn't let them go that long.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. And sorry for adjusting the mics, but I'm looking right through them at
okay.
Bob. And it's like,
kind of high.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why I was moving them down.
You're right. I thought you wanted people to hear us. So.
Yeah. Well, that too. No. Okay. All right, it's financial highlights. Now we're going down to general revenue and expenses. Does anybody have any questions in there? Now that we're done with the highlights. Okay, you're done. We'll move on down, page 21, special revenue funds.
Okay,
page 21.
Thank you. Park and Rec, special revenue fund. The revenues are currently exceeding expenses by approximately $44,964. Last year, same time, expenses were ahead of revenue by $20,801. Specifically, program fees are up $61,000 as compared to the same time last year. WPCA, revenues currently exceeding expenses by approximately $409,276. Same time last year, revenues were also ahead of expenses, but by $388,035. Operationally, very similar to last year's performance. Sewer assessment, special revenue fund, revenues exceeding expenses by $248,827. Last year, same time, expenses were ahead of revenue by $15,120. It's the connection revenue is up by approximately $270,000 compared to the same time last year. EMS, special revenue fund. Expenses currently exceeding revenues by $132,572. Last year, same time, expenses were also ahead of revenues, but by $143,150. Intech expenses compared to last year is up by $50,000, same time last year. Transfer station, revenues currently exceeding expenses by $63,509. Last year, same time, revenues were ahead of expenses by the amount of $70,687. Anyone have any questions on the special revenue funds performance?
All right. Here, none. We'll go down to investment incomes, page 36.
We reviewed that in the highlights, but you know, I guess as I said, we're going to fall short of budget. A little bit better than I had initially thought after halfway through the year. We feel like we're going to end at about 69% of budgeted.
Okay.
Whatever happened with the discussions with people's?
Thank you. I was just going to bring that up.
Okay.
Go ahead, Katie.
Yeah, so I did take it out for an RFP and had one entity respond to it. And it wasn't necessarily that particular advisor's wheelhouse. And the fees did not align at all with how we're being charged from Peoples. So I reached out to another advisor, and he's connecting me with another financial officer who went through a similar process, and hopefully I can get some more options.
Okay, thank you. You're probably going to be asked that every month, by the way.
I'll add it to my highlights.
Okay, good. See, there's the next one is cash and investments. Just to clarify the budget, I think if I'm right, that's been brought down for this coming year. We were budgeting quite high, I guess. How much were we going to get in investments?
Oh, investments, we had cut the budget in half.
Yeah.
We cut it additionally for this upcoming year. I think it's right now it's,
I think that's
it's
pretty,
going to be budgeted correctly.
Yeah, good. We haven't hit it for the last several years. So it's like, yeah.
Yeah, and we didn't expect this to continue to this degree. But.
Okay. So, tax collector's report on page 38.
Yep. Tax collections are doing very well, in spite of everything.
Go ahead. I was just going to say for the board, for you guys who are on page 38, if you notice that difference in the right-hand column, those are all positive. And I think that's actually pretty good going into the budget season. We're doing real good on the collection. Go ahead, Bill. Sorry.
Yeah, we're currently at 98.91, and that's just through the month of February. So we're looking really good to hit the 100% for the year.
Okay, good. Good.
Question?
Go ahead.
And this is necessary for the budget, but how's the grant? Do we have a new grant list?
We do.
Can you share it?
It's a 2.6% increase, the grant list?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. 269, I think.
269, yeah. Somewhere in there. Yeah.
Yeah, we had it in the memo in the prior month. Yeah.
Right.
It was listed.
Thank you. I was just going to say that. So I know I saw that somewhere in the budget.
I thought I had two.
Oh, yes. It's in the budget as well.
So on page 39, we have the unassigned fund balance. And I do have a question here, but I'll wait for your briefing first. Do you have anything on that?
Yeah, I don't have it changed from prior month.
Okay. I have a question down here. This is on the bottom. It says number of months unassigned fund balance that they want us to. We have 2.2 months. And I know that they would like us to have 2 months. And the question is, what is the dollar amount per month? And I'm just sitting there, I was trying to figure that out. Okay, they want 2.2 months, and we have 7.6 mil, you know. All right, am I dividing that by 12, and that's per month operation? I don't know. That's what I'm asking you for.
Well, if it's 2.2, probably be about 3.6, I guess, for a single month, 3.6 million.
Okay, to run the town. So
that's what I like looking at percentages, 15-18%.
Yeah.
It seems to be a little easier than trying to figure out the month part.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's just the order.
Yeah, right now we're 17.
Well, I guess a question that we don't necessarily need for tonight, but that we will need when we get to working on that, on the worksheet, is if we were to use any money from the fund balance for next year's budget. How much could we use without going below the recommended 2%?
Thank you, Katie. That was going to be the second part of my question. That's why I'm actually asking. Because if I'm going to sit there and punch those numbers, then how much can I actually take?
I actually added that to, it should be on the loan range. I'll check it. But I had added the fund balance to that so we could see it get adjusted against the updated expenditure budget.
And the other thing, part of that analysis is you want to look at what are your anticipated future capital costs.
Right.
So that, hey, we anticipate for 37 Bridge Street, we're going to be paying 125 or something along those lines. That you want to make sure you take that into consideration also.
Great, thanks. That's right.
There rather than spending it down.
Good. And we'll be talking about that next week on that. So, okay. Good. I'll answer that one.
But while we're looking at that page and have it in front of us, any further information on how close that 100,000 is to what the average overage is going to be?
No, at this point I don't. There's still wrangling over cost, that's the way I can put it, still.
Okay. We're going to have to total those and see what they are versus what we can do versus keeping it above 2 months worth. Okay. Not that I want to push the envelope on that.
Yeah.
All right. This brings us down to monthly reports for the Board of Education.
Oh, can I ask one?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, he was not here. I was going to share. I can't remember if we were down with the Board of Selectmen. I, the name of the chemical slipped in my mind, but the firefighting agent that was used, PFAS.
PFAS.
Yeah. Is there any updates on that? I haven't heard about it in a while.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a couple of updates on it. One is there was obviously reported for PFAS found in the ground where we did the training, and it was about 4,000 tons, something like that. Then there's a large amount that would have to be removed if we were going to remove soil, and the cost of that would be well in excess of $1 million, which is our coverage. And so the environmental consultant we had suggested that we look at alternative methods for mitigating it. So we put out an RFP. There were several people who responded with different alternatives for removing those chemicals or treating the chemicals in place or encapsulating them, the chemicals to keep them in a certain area. Those RFPs are currently being evaluated. We just got them back about a month ago, and they're being evaluated by somebody who knows a lot more about this than I ever will. In the meantime, just a week ago, we were told that the state is considering changing the specifications for what's considered a PFAS level you can't go above, and it would be significantly lowering that number. And it's not like we're grandfathered into the old numbers. You would have to meet the new numbers. If they go forward with that, it would significantly increase either the amount of soil that would need to be removed or the treatment that we would have to do to the property. And so we're looking at some alternative methods of possibly treating it, which would be even less expensive, but would basically leave the PFAS there for decades, but control its migration so it wouldn't go anywhere. Remember, it's not on the surface, so it's not a danger to anybody who's you know, playing soccer or something above it. The concern is it's seeping into the groundwater and moving out, poisoning the groundwater. We would take that groundwater out and pump it through basic filtration system, put it back in the ground, and then make sure it doesn't go anywhere. Eventually, over time, that the amount of PFAS in that groundwater would get less. But it would be a much slower process. Mm-hmm. But so there'd be less of a capital outlay, but you'd have to maintain that system over time. And so we're kind of doing the financial evaluation to figure out what's the best way to go forward. Mm-hmm. And the consultant's supposed to be giving us a proposal the next week or two.
Okay.
So that's where we're at. But if with the new standards, if we actually had to clean it up completely, it would be probably $2 million.
When you mentioned the $1 million coverage, would we be covered no matter what method we chose for the cleanup, or are there some methods that are more likely than others to be covered?
Before we do anything, we run it through two groups. One's the insurance, the other is DEEP. Right. And so, before we did anything, we run it through insurance. I would believe both measures would be covered. When we went and looked at alternative methods, we made sure they were on board with going out and taking that approach, which they should be, because if we can determine a way that's less expensive to clean up the sites, they've got sites all over the state, they've got to get cleaned up, both DEEP and the insurance company. So it's both in their best interest to try to cooperate and come up with a proposal that works. And so, we've been making sure they're on board every step of the way. But I think the insurance company would pay for the initial outlay, but the ongoing maintenance cost we'd have to pay.
Bob, did you say it's $1 million policy?
Yes.
And how much is eroded off the limits?
Probably about 120, somewhere in there.
Have any personal injury claims been made or property damage claims been made?
No. It's purely just the environmental cleanup. And I will tell you this too. One quick point. We're insured by KERMA, which is by far most towns insured by KERMA. And their subinsurer who does environmental claims is Chubb. And we are the last town that's covered for PFAS under Chubb. Once we put our claim in, they kind of realized the extent of the liability and they no longer covered under their standard policy. And you get separate PFAS. Insurance is pretty expensive, so we're kind of lucky. We're the last town in, fact, it might have been the first town, and I'm not sure, but once we got in, they got out.
Is that subject to an ROR, reservation rights, Kermit or Chubb?
Yeah, I'm assuming we got a letter of some sort along those lines. We usually do.
Lou, just a quick question as far as planning goes. Is that going to be a summer project? Do you think it'll take us into the fall? Do we need to make plans for the field?
We initially thought it would be done this summer. In fact, I was surprised even after we got the RFPs back. The consultant said he thought that it might be able to be done this summer. But since we're concerned about deep running, changing the limits, we don't go forward with a plan to clean it up, pay all those expenses, and find out we got to go back again to meet a different limit. So it looks like right now it would not be able to be done this summer.
So kind of in the fall and having to make some adjustments?
Yeah. Yep. In fact, I think at some point we'll probably be putting up a fence around the spot anyway, so we're going to have to be digging and taking out samples and everything else.
Will it affect the parking lot at all, do you know?
It shouldn't. As of right now, it should not.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Is the lower field, we've always called it the lower field, the field on the left as you're driving in the chamber. That one's okay, right?
Yeah, it's right in front of the circle.
Right.
It's between the circle and the road, about center.
Oh, okay.
Is where what we refer to as the hot spot is. They must have done the training somewhere in that area.
Okay. I don't know what they call it now. Back in my day, we always called it the lower field there.
Just that's what I think. It's a recess field that's by going to Cherry Brook, right?
Right, yes. Go ahead.
Is any word on grants at all, state or federal? Because we didn't break any rules when we did this because it was legally allowed. The level of chemical was okay at the time, quote unquote okay. Any word on grants at all to help us with that?
Possibly. There's a water grant. I don't remember what the specific term is of it, but we are looking into that. Mm-hmm. There is some PFAS that has, it basically looks like some of it may be migrating into Cherry Brook, and since it comes out to a source there, mm-hmm. that we may be able to use that as a basis for applying for a grant.
Okay.
But
still,
you know, we haven't. I mean, I don't even know whether we qualify yet, and the amount of the grant compared to the cost of the cleanup would probably be quite small.
Oh, I'm sure. I'll take $1,000.
I agree. Yeah, every bit helps. Absolutely.
And then one final question too, and I'll be done. Is if we went the route, if the town decided to go the route of, hey, let's just contain it and it'll be fine and let decay over time, would there be a yearly cost to do soil tests?
Yes, there'd be soil tests. My guess is they might have you test some of the neighboring wells too, but okay. Certainly you have to do monthly tests.
Monthly tests,
okay. I think it's both probably the soil, but in particular the groundwater, we need to be tested monthly.
Just an expense to think about if we went that route.
Yeah, and that's what you have to compare, the ongoing maintenance costs versus if you just do the capital costs at the beginning and try to clean it up. But if they move to those new standards, it's going to make it very expensive.
Right. Okay.
Just a quick question. What's the, do groundwater flows towards the river, I assume, Cherry Brook?
Yes. It does, towards Cherry Brook, kind of at a diagonal towards Cherry Brook.
Okay. And it doesn't always follow topography, groundwater flows, but there are two on-site potable drinking wells, right, at that property?
There are, and they are up-gradient. You're right, it doesn't always follow, but they are up-gradient. They have been tested, and there's no traces of
PFAS. Okay, that was my question.
We tested every well, I think, within 500 feet, and all had were below the level. One had a trace, and all the other ones didn't even have a trace. And we don't know where the trace came from, and it was still
very low. Do you know if that level that it hit will be at what Dean was going to propose as the safe threshold?
It was below that.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
I see no more questions. I'll go to the Board of Education. For your report, monthly report.
Good evening, everyone. In your packet, you have the financial highlight memo. Would you like
page 40?
Right. Would you like Donna to go through that, or if you've already read it, if you have any questions about it?
What do you think, Donna?
Well, I think a lot of you probably heard it already before, but
are there things? And most of the things that we're seeing are things that we've seen in the previous months. Are there things here that are new that you want to call our attention to?
There's a couple smaller things, but I guess call your attention to might be not the thing I want to do. But because
from?
And then the reason I say that is because what we've done on this highlight memo is basically tell you where there's deficits in a line item. We're actually, much like the town, reforecasting in the process, and by the end of the year. Right now, we don't foresee seeing a deficit, so don't really need to bring your attention to it, per se.
I'm going to be talking about special education when we get to Board of Ed updates and referrals.
Sure.
So I'll be talking more about the special ed component, which the largest deficits are seen in.
Right.
I think other than that, we've reported on these other deficits each month.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay. Thank you. Didn't know there was some way to do it. Just read it. Okay. So. That was real fast. So this will take us down to the Board of Selectmen updates and referrals. We've had the PFAS update, so do you have anything else?
Yeah, the one thing I wanted to mention was that we are moving forward with the refunding, because the refinancing of our existing debt. We did meet with S&P to get our rating, and I'm happy to say we did maintain our AAA rating, which is good. They've seen, you know, their comments. Very pleased with the town and the finances of it and where we're going. We were originally planning on selling the bonds tomorrow, but we've had a significant spike in interest rates, and so we're probably gonna hold off, but I don't want to hold off too long. It could just get worse.
You might go over again.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I just heard that today too.
Well, by holding on, I mean by days. They because of we're actually selling them through a broker, but it gives us flexibility in that instead of picking a day, like an RFP, 3 weeks in advance that we're going to sell it on this day. Our concern was that the market is so volatile that we didn't want to take that approach. So we're kind of taking a different approach, and that you have the option that you can literally pick the day. So if you get, you know, all of a sudden there's a ceasefire and a war and interest rates drop by, you know, 0.02%, we can go ahead and sell the bonds. So it gives us some flexibility, and I mean they literally went up quite a bit just over the weekend. That I think tomorrow it just looks like it may be too volatile, so we may hold off on selling them. But I'm hoping that we'd sell them for the next week or two, I would say.
Yeah.
So it's on a day to day basis.
Been down those road before, I know.
Well, I mean, March 7th, I think they're about 1.6%. And now they're 2.3. And the 1.6 in March was lower than it had been since late December. So it actually, you know, went up a little bit in February, then dropped down in early March, and then it just shot back up again.
And with the refinance, what are we saving relative to what we had been paying before?
Yeah, at one point it was around 400. Then in December it was around 300. Now they're saying around 200.
Still not, it's not nothing, it's still a lot, but I'd rather have the 400, but I know
it's for a ceasefire.
Okay, so
that was
nothing.
But I was an update.
Okay, so all right, so I don't want to cut you off. You got that's all your update then?
Okay. Yep.
All right, so that gives us down to the Board of Education update and referrals. So it's back to you, Kevin.
Okay, thank you, Ken. In your packet, I believe Ken said it was page 41. If you want to return, if you've left the financial highlight memo, if you want to return to that, I do want to talk about special education. We normally report to you every month on special ed, but it's at this time of the year that I really like to make it clear where we are as of February 28th, and actually as of today, March 20th. I just want to let you know where our deficits are and what we expect to receive in excess cost, so that there are no surprises as we move forward. So when we look at the deficits in special education, and We've listed all of them here for you except for legal services and special education, because if you look at our financial sheet, that line item is at zero. We've encumbered what we know we're going to spend. So anything we spend from this point or from March 1st forward, we're going to be in a deficit in that account. And what I can tell you is that we have one case, one student case that is currently in mediation. So I know you had Special Ed 101 last week with Dr. Murdica, so I won't talk a lot about it. But when the school district and a family disagree on placement, the family has a right to take us to what's called a due process hearing. It's an actual hearing with an arbitrator. Prior to the hearing, we go to mediation. We always have a Board of Education attorney involved in that. So we have one case that's in mediation, and it looks like we are heading to a due process hearing. Dr. Murdica and I take this very seriously. We always look at what will be best for the student, but also what will be fiscally responsible for the town. And there are some cases where we feel it's in the student's best interest that they be educated here in town. And so that's the case with this situation. So if you ever hear that we're in mediation or due process, that's what that means. So we will encumber more legal fees because of that. I can tell you that over the past 2 years, we've had two due process hearings, and the Board of Education has prevailed on both. So again, we take that decision carefully. We'll look at all the factors and decide how to proceed. The first item there, where we're in deficit of $113,000, that is the special education support that is given to students attending magnet schools. I talked about this last week when we looked at our next year's budget. I don't know until August how many students will be attending magnet schools. So when this current year's budget was developed, we had five students attending. Six additional students chose to attend. So that's why we're in deficit in this line item. We had the need for an additional nurse, additional hours for a nurse to ride a bus for transportation. This student has a full-time nurse, but needed additional nursing time for transportation. That was a change in the student's individual education plan. The next item, a deficit of $87,458. That was due to a student moving into the district who needed support for a hearing impairment. That's an example of, again, when the budget was developed, we didn't know there was a need. Specialized transportation, again, that was due to a specialized need for a student who had a health condition, transporting that student on the bus. So the line item that is always our largest deficit is the out-of-district tuition line item. And this is the line item that pays for the tuition only for those out-of-district schools that Dr. Murdica talked about last week. So the good news is, last month, you may recall, we were in deficit of approximately $409,000. We had a student placement change, so that brought the deficit down to $301,000. So as you know, this changes month by month. We're fortunate that it changed in a positive way fiscally. So currently, we're in $301,000 deficit there. We have a homebound tutor that's needed. We're in a small deficit there. There is a positive.
That's gonna get a little bigger.
There is a positive out-of-district transportation. This is where we need to provide transportation for these students to out-of-district placements. Because of the COVID situation, many parents have chosen to transport their students last year and this year. That's resulting in a cost savings. We do pay parents mileage, and it is more cost-effective to reimburse parents for mileage than to pay for small school buses or vans. So we do have a positive there as of now.
Kevin?
Yes.
Do you see a cultural change on this with the parents, with their kids? Do you think there's a chance this will go into next year?
not from what Donna and I are hearing from the pupil personnel services staff who talk with the parents.
Right.
We don't think this will continue, but it might in a couple of cases.
Right.
But to be responsible, we budgeted fully for next year for what the out-of-district transportation would be.
Great, thank you, because I was going to say that. Plus or minus, but you know, how should we budget for next year? You're right, you did budget for it. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. So overall, we are about $509,000 in deficit in special ed, and that doesn't include the legal fees we will continue to accrue. We talked last week about what excess cost is. We are expecting around $525,000 from the state for excess cost if they pay us for 70% of what we submitted. Remember, the state can pay us between 66% to all the way up to 80%. So we do budget pretty conservatively at the 69 to 70% level when we develop this budget. That's what we put into the budget. So we will need the excess cost reimbursement in order to eliminate these special education deficits. So if we get that amount of reimbursement, we will be okay. We won't know what we will get until April. As I said last week, all of the school districts needed to submit their costs by March 1st. The state's now looking at that. They have one line item, one pot of money. They'll divide it among the school districts based upon the school district's needs. So that's where we are with special education as of today. Does anybody have any questions about that?
You should have the answer by our next meeting next month. But not by the workshop.
That's correct.
Okay.
We'll have it by the third Monday in April, yes. Most likely we will, based upon past experience.
For those of you new, we do this every year. You have to make a decision on your best guess. Most of the times you lose. Sometimes you lose. That's the way it goes.
Well, Ken, for next year we will, right? That's what you're talking about.
Talking about.
Right.
All right. Anything else in the updates and referrals?
Yes, we have one other item that was brought up at the budget presentation last week. As you recall, Mr. Barlow, a citizen, made public comment about the other grants that are part of our report. So we won't go into great detail tonight, but Donna wrote up a summary of each of the grants that you have information on every month. They are not part of our general education budget. They're separate grants, but you do get a report on them every month.
Right.
So Donna has described what each of the grants are.
Thank you.
We don't necessarily have to go through it tonight. I think it's very self-explanatory. But possibly you could review it.
For matter of time compression, Jay, read it on your own personal time, and then next Monday when you get asked the questions during the workshop. Make notes and ask the questions.
I had a quick question about, so we ended up talking about the CIP on Monday when we were talking about the Board of Selectmen budget. And then when we had you all here to talk about Board of Ed, we didn't end up going into the Board of Ed part of CIP. And I was, one of my, unfortunately I don't have it in front of me, but the one thing I remembered being curious about was the web-based cameras. I think it was $70,000 for some cameras. And I didn't know what they were. And I wondered if you could explain what they are. And is this something new, or is it something that you're replacing that the school has had before?
Thank you, Katie. The web-based cameras are for security purposes. So we currently have several cameras on school campus, many, many locations for security purposes. We have a proposal to move to web-based cameras. There are several advantages to doing that. I won't be able to elaborate on that tonight. I'll need to ask my experts to do that. So these cameras would be replacing the current cameras, but also adding cameras to our school campus.
Okay.
So it's for school security. It allows the police department and the administrators in the school district to monitor school grounds 24/7. I can pull up on my computer any of our campuses at any time to see what's happening, and so can the Canton Police Department.
And Katie, we actually we talked about that at the leadership meeting. That those are dollars that might best be spent through ARPA as opposed to CIP, that we may be able to move to that area. We're actually taking a tour of the facilities on Thursday this week, correct? Because there are a few things that I think we have an opportunity to move to ARPA and not CIP. Mm-hmm. So we're gonna put that together. We're gonna go back to Ken and come back to the Board of Finance and see what you think. So
excellent. Thank you both.
May I ask one question about the grants?
I know. Yeah. What I'm gonna do is, can I invite myself to that tour?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I read that in your minutes.
That'd be great.
And I flagged it, and I was going to bring
last
it up.
Last one in buys the coffee, though. So,
so we're starting at 7:30 at Canton High School again. And then we'll be
that early.
Then we'll be going around to all the school. From
okay, 7:30 at
Canton High School.
At Canton High School. Okay. Go ahead.
Just a quick question about the grants, and we'll discuss them, you know, next Monday. But most of the grants are paying for things that do not appear in your budget, correct?
Correct.
So you didn't budget for this stuff because you know you've got other funds coming in. For the ones where they're split and there are some where funds are used for part of something, the part of is in the budget, but the grant funded piece is not in the budget. Am I understanding this right?
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you.
For example, if a grant may be paying for half the salary for one special education teacher, you won't see the grant portion, but half of that salary is in our general ed.
That's usually because what I've seen parts of, I wondered if it was a half-time person, but it's not. It's a full-time person, half-time funded. Yeah.
That's correct, Sarah.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Good. Thank you. Thank you. Give me enough time to put that on my calendar. Okay. Before I move on, anything more on the updates? Okay, that brings it down to new business. I don't really have anything other than next week. Starts at 6 o'clock. If you're late, it's okay, but I know you have a working schedule and stuff like that. Just notify me on that. Okay. Next week is, for those that are new, it's our meeting, and it's mostly us talking, okay? They'll be here for references where you can talk back and forth, okay? That's how it's done, and we'll go and we'll set. There is, at the end of this, we have our, got it right here in front of me. That's gonna be March 28th, 6 o'clock, right here. Then we have, and you're going to have to rebrief me on this, the finalized budget subject to cancellation, we have April 6th. You're going to have to re-educate me on it. We always cancel this. Why do we have that on there again?
The way it works is that you'll make a decision next Monday as to the changes you want to make in the budget.
Right.
Those changes then go back to the Board of Education, Board of Selectmen. Board of Education, if I get it back following Tuesday, we'll get it to Wednesday. And then the boards will decide, you know, what the impact of those changes that you want to make. And then we'll come back and report to you the impact of those changes, particularly with the Board of Selectmen budget, will indicate what line items are impacted by those changes. And then that's your chance to make any final changes that you may want to make prior to sending it off to a public hearing.
Okay.
You know, also because you want to get the notice out prior to the public hearing this time. Last time they sent the flyer out after the public hearing, which meant it was after you had set the budget for referendum, which meant you were subject to all kinds of restrictions. But the thought was this time you wanted to get that notice out prior to the public hearing so that you weren't subject to those restrictions. So the sooner you can set the budget, the sooner you can start working on that newsletter and get it out to the public. So,
okay.
You know, hopefully on April 6th, you'll find out what the impact is on individual departments or the Board of Ed and Board of Selectmen's budgets, and then, you know, maybe be able to set what that final number will be. And then after the public hearing is when, immediately after the public hearing, is when you'll take in all the comments of the public and then set the final budget, which will then go to referendum.
Okay. Thank you for the rebrief there. I sort of, that's what I had in my mind, but I just wanted to hear it again just in case, because we always wind up canceling this. But what I want to tell the board is, on your calendar, just have it on your calendar. Then, if need be, we'll cancel it. But as I said, just keep that date open for us. I don't have anything more, don't have any more pep talks. Next Mondays are when we go to work. Is anybody?
Do we have to approve our minutes?
Yes. Time?
Okay.
I haven't got there yet. Thank you. I was just going to say, does anybody else have anything under this, under the new business to talk about? Tom, anything? Nothing. Thank you, Tara, Katie. Okay, so this brings us down to our minutes that we have to approve. Whichever page they were on. Thank you.
I have one to, one I wanted to comment on for the minutes. On line 11, I was here. I got here. It was, not to throw you under the bus, but it was Andrew Jemba who came. He wasn't absent, but he was late. So he was here. Maybe don't say member absent, but member late, perhaps.
Who's your buddy?
Good call. I have to admit, all I saw was Andrew, and I said, oh yeah, he was.
Honest mistake, no big deal.
Wasn't that the workshop? Or was that the actual February meeting?
That was our normal February meeting.
Oh, was it the February meeting?
Yeah.
Okay, I take that back.
I was
thinking this was the workshop meeting.
Yeah, no, this
last
was
a couple
yeah.
days ago.
Okay, what's right the first?
Or last week, right? Okay, never mind. So I take that back. I apologize to everybody, I was not here.
Nice to see that. Yeah. I think last year I had one I was arguing over, and it turned out I actually said it.
I was on vacation. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay, other than that, if nobody else sees any changes, do I have a motion to accept it?
Someone.
Okay, second?
Second.
Tom. We had the discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No opposed. All right, so that's taken care of. We do have in the package the Board of Selectmen and the Board of Education. And I'm going to hold on. I do have one for Board of Selectmen. And I don't have it. I do have it down here. One was a tour. That's a yes. I'm going to grab on that. The other one was the Football Bears Support Group. For $20,000, let me see if I can find it real fast here. I'm trying to find my highlight. It came up, and I was a little ignorant of this. Here it is. Okay, this is done by Mike Ford, suggesting regarding the Canton football. The goal was to provide the BOE with the facts that the Bears team, on the Bears team, $20,000 raised by the parents for transportation and athletics. And so you were, what is, yes. Educate us on
this. Yes, so that's the co-op between us and Granby for football. The parents have the lion's share. We raised $4,000, is it?
Yes.
We provide $4,000 of support. The reason why that came up is some of the board members thought we only had one home game last year. And we support to the tune of about 16 players on a 35-man roster, if you will. So just short of half comes from Canton, and we thought we wanted more home games. And what the Booster Club said was, please don't upset the apple cart. We're fine the way things are. We're thrilled that we have a team and that we have an opportunity to play. So please don't, you know, upset that apple cart. So that was the reason for the discussion. So the Board of Education said, if that's what you prefer as the Booster Club, we will not ask for any more home games. So.
Okay. So I've just caught me by surprise. It's like the parents got, you know, 20K.
They raised that through their golf outing and through all sorts of, and they have since inception. They've raised quite a bit of the funds to in order for the kids to play football. The tragedy is in all this is that the numbers continue to dwindle down from being able to support our own team to having to move to a co-op situation. So, and busing, and we have to bus the students to practice in Granby. I mean, the dedication by the co-op football team, the co-op hockey team, to me is just, you know, pretty amazing, I think.
Pretty amazing it is.
Yeah.
I do remember when they pretty much started when we got the football field built.
Right.
They got, and I know we had the discussion financially, what we're going to pay for and what
right.
parents should pay for and stuff. So I was a little surprised it's like still going on.
So respectfully, I just want to admit, it's not a football field. It's an all-purpose field. That was always the intent. This town is always underserved as far as fields go, and that's the reason why we built those fields. So.
Rose by any other name, still football field. Okay. All right. With that said, we're all finished. I'll take a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Some of them.
Second. All right.
Okay. I'll give it to Katie for a second. All right.
That was it. That was it. You can have it. It's all right.
That's all right. It took away from Tom, so.